Barry Odell with the Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring Facebook page. It is Tuesday morning, January 9th, 2024. I hope everybody is doing all right today. Good to see folks joining on our Facebook page here, Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring. We are cross-posted always on the nearchurches.com Facebook page. And of course, once the live stream is over, you can find all of this content on our YouTube channel, Mammoth Spring Church of Christ. And on all three of those pages, platforms, whatever you want to say, the comment section is always open, so you can make comments or ask questions, and I will acknowledge them when I see them. So we started yesterday a study of the intertestamental period. We're going to continue that today. We are in the book of Daniel. Sheila, Janie, Gail, good to see you guys. And get into a little more detail. Let me see here. Pull up the Bible app. For whatever reason, this Bible app that I use starts in Ruth chapter 4. I don't want to be there. Nothing against Ruth, but that's not what we're studying. Hey, Lyle, good to see you. We're in Daniel chapter 7. And so I've got several maps that I want to show you. We're going to talk about some more details. Good morning, Anna. Good to see you. More details that I started laying out yesterday to kind of help us get a good frame of reference. The book of Daniel is such an interesting book, and there's so much in there. Obviously, things that we can, where we can go to other parts of the Bible and talk about the same subject, but there are also many things in the book of Daniel that we can go to secular history and verify. And that's kind of what we're doing in this intertestamental period study. And hope these maps, you know, a very beneficial study for Bible students would be a study of both geography and archaeology. Knowing where things are, being able to identify Bible places on maps, that can be more helpful, I think, that sometimes than people realize, but we'll try to do a little bit of that today. And like I said, we're in Daniel chapter 7, so we're going to go ahead and get started here. Remember yesterday we talked about Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel came in and interpreted that dream, and we're kind of laying the foundation of what Paul wrote in Galatians 4 and verse 4, that God, when the fullness of time had come, sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. When God sent Jesus into the world, the time was perfect. The timing was perfect. Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream of four kingdoms. You remember the great image that he had? Each part of that image represented a different kingdom, starting with Babylon. Daniel identifies it as such, beginning in Daniel 2:31, and it goes down through verse 45. Four successive kingdoms, and it's during that fourth kingdom that the kingdom of God was established. Well, you get to Daniel chapter 7, and Daniel now has a dream. Instead of Nebuchadnezzar, this is Daniel dreaming. So we started looking at this yesterday. I've got it up on my screen. If you're watching, you can see it. If you're just listening to the podcast, well, you can't see it. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. So Belshazzar reigned in the Babylonian Empire from about 553 to 539 BC. All right, so now we know what period of time we're dealing with. Hey, Wayne, good to see you this morning. And he has this dream, and he wrote it down, telling the main facts, he said. He saw in his vision four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and four beasts come out of this great sea. The great sea, and the book of Revelation does this too, the great sea is representative of humanity. It's representative of, let's say, the world's population. So in the midst of this, he says here in verse 3, four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. And then he begins to describe them. The first beast, a lion with eagle's wings. Hey, good morning, Kim. Good to see you. The second beast was a bear raised up on one side, had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. Verse 6, there's another beast like a leopard, who had four wings of a bird, and he had great and were given to him dominion. He had four heads. We're going to talk about that in a future video. And then he saw a fourth beast, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7. Dreadful, terrible, and exceedingly strong. Huge iron teeth. So this is the nature of apocalyptic literature. Signs, symbols, animals, you might say earth-shaking events. Things that if you saw them, you wouldn't forget. In this fourth beast, you will notice that it was different from all the other beasts, and it had 10 horns. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7. And I was considering those horns, this beast, which now, as you're reading through Daniel chapter 7, you learn what these beasts represent. I'm scrolling down here to verse 17. Those great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. So remember, how do you know that the great sea is the earth? Because of verse 17. Remember, Daniel sees this great sea. Let me get back up here to the top. He sees this great sea, Daniel 7 and verse 2, and four great beasts come up out of the sea. So these are kingdoms that arise out of the earth's population, out of the world. Wayne says, are these the same spoken about in Revelation? We're going to talk about that in a video because there are, I would say, close ties to Daniel and Revelation. I don't want to get into that today because, because then I wouldn't get done what I want to get done. But we'll make note of that question. Deborah says it sounds more like a nightmare. Well, you're not wrong. So anyway, back down to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 17. Those great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. All right, now we know what they represent. Time period, we know what they represent. This dream that Daniel has is in the days of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. That first beast, just like the first part of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that head of gold, represents Babylon. So I've mentioned Babylon a few times here. Well, the kingdom, and Daniel, let me do this too. The book of Daniel shows the transition from Nebuchadnezzar, from Belshazzar, into the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. I flipped over here on the Bible app to Daniel chapter 5, and you get down, this is Belshazzar's, he sees the handwriting on the wall. Well, at the end of that chapter, Daniel 5 and verse 30, that very night Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So Daniel's similar to Luke in this way. Luke, you read the first three chapters, and he meticulously dates his gospel account. Daniel does the same thing here. So I just wanted to show you that real quick. So Daniel 7, these four beasts, let me look here in my Bible real quickly. I guess let me go ahead and do this. So we keep talking about these kingdoms, and I'm gonna just throw up some maps real quickly to show you what we're talking about. When we talk about the kingdom of Babylon, essentially here's what we're looking at. This is known as the Neo-Babylonian Empire. And you can see that as you look at this Bible map, it covers obviously the Promised Land, which is right here to the east of the Mediterranean Sea, and then it goes over towards the Persian Gulf, down into the Arabian Peninsula, alongside the Red Sea down here in the south. I mean, that's a pretty good-sized chunk of land. But this is that first kingdom, the head of gold, Daniel chapter 7. It's the first beast that looks like a lion who had eagle's wings. Now, as you continue reading here, in Daniel chapter 7, this is verse 5, it says, suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. The interesting thing about this is that Daniel 8 talks to us about this second kingdom. All right, so this dream that Daniel has is in the first year of Belshazzar. You turn the page to Daniel chapter 8, and now you're in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar. Daniel has another vision. A vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me the first time. Well, that's a reference to Daniel chapter 7. This is a second vision that God gives Daniel about these future kingdoms. He says, I saw in the vision, and it so happened while I was looking, that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision that I was by the river Ulai, which is a tributary to the Tigris River. He's in the capital, essentially in the capital of Babylon, is what he's saying here. Shushan, the citadel. He says, I lifted up my eyes and I saw there standing beside the river, there was a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. It's an interesting vision. Now, if you're looking at the text here in Daniel chapter 8, well, how can we figure out what this means? Let the text, and I've said this when I taught through the book of Revelation, let the text explain it to you itself. He sees this ram that has two horns. One was higher than the other. If you remember from Daniel chapter 7, he had a vision of that bear, and that bear was lifted up on one side. One side was higher than the other. These visions, while the beasts appear different, they're talking about the same events. So you scroll down to Daniel chapter 8, and verse 20. The ram which you saw having two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia. So there's your answer. Who's the bear who's raised up on one side in Daniel 7? It's the same. The meaning is the same as the ram that has two horns and one horn is higher than the other. Daniel's serving in the court of Babylon, and he sees this. They're the next empire. Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. Media and Persia is the chest and arms of silver of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Media and Persia is the bear that's raised up on one side. Well, so going back, thinking back to Daniel chapter 7, not only was that bear raised up on one side, but Daniel 7 says that that bear also had three ribs in its mouth. So let me pull up a map here. We take away Babylon, and I'll put up a map of Persia. Now you can see the map of Persia, again, if you're watching the live stream. Persia, Media in Persia is a lot bigger than what we see in Babylon. There's the Babylonian Empire again. Persia is much more expansive, much more powerful than the kingdom of Babylon. Okay, so this ram, and you notice in this vision here, back, let me get back up here to Daniel chapter 8 in the first part here. The ram, Daniel 8 and verse 4, was pushing westward, northward, and southward, and so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there any that could deliver from his hand. So while they conquered the Babylonians, and again, Daniel shows us that transition, you might say, at the end of Daniel chapter 5, they conquered Babylon, but they had much more than just that one region that Babylon was, how would you say it, that Babylon controlled, let's just say it that way. So he did what he wanted to do, Daniel chapter 8 here it says in verse 4, according to his will, and he became great. This ram with two horns, Media and Persia, a mixture of two kingdoms, two families, they did pretty much what they wanted to do. All right. Daniel 8 and verse 5, you say, well, here's the thing, let me say this first. So we're talking about the intertestamental period. The Bible talks to us briefly about Persia, Media, Greece. Daniel talks about the kingdom of Greece. We're going to look at that here in just a second. But all of this is flowing into the intertestamental period. That's the point. That's why we're looking at all of this. So you're looking here. This ram does what he wanted to do, and he became great. I forgot I didn't have the Bible app back up there. So anyway, Media and Persia is growing. But then you get to Daniel 8 and verse 5. And as I was considering, so I'm watching this vision, suddenly, a male goat came from the west, across the surface of the whole earth, without touching the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. If you remember in Daniel chapter 7, Media and Persia is represented by that bear. But after the bear, there was another animal like a leopard. Okay, a leopard had four wings, you remember, instead of two. All of that represents swiftness. It represents speed. Well, now in Daniel chapter 8, in Daniel's second dream, he's given the picture of a male goat. He's not touching the ground. He had a notable, this is a swift moving animal. Well, Babylon, Media Persia, and the kingdom that would come after that would be the Grecian Empire. And so here's a map about the Grecian Empire. It goes a little bit further west, if you notice on the map. Farther west, I should say, I guess. Farther, whatever. But it's more expansive than the Media and Persian Empire. And the name that is associated historically, and not exactly biblically, let's say, but it's Alexander the Great. very ambitious, came to power at a very young age. Now, we know history tells us he died about the age of 32 or 33, but in his brief reign, he's swift, powerful, and takes over again, as you see here in the, let me get this map out of the way, in the biblical text. It's like nobody could stop the great goat, Media Persia. But then you have this guy coming from the west, and he has a great horn between his eyes. He came to the ram that had two horns and ran at him with furious power. He confronted the ram with rage, attacked the ram, broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him, and there was no one that could deliver the ram from his hand. All right? Well, you say, well, how do you know that that's Greece? How do you know that that's Alexander the Great? Well, just like Daniel chapter 8 and verse 20 tells me that the ram with two horns was Media and Persia, Daniel 8 and verse 21 tells me that the male goat is the kingdom of Greece and the large horn between its eyes is the first king. There you go. I mean, that's not hard to understand, but it's beneficial for us to be able to see things like these maps that help us, I guess, understand the extent of these kingdoms, the power that they had. And again, there's so much secular history, so much research, you know, encyclopedias. You can Google this information. There's so much information literally at your fingertips, on your phone, on your computer, and you can read about all of this. But what's so interesting to me is, if you're a Bible student, how clear the Bible is on this subject. So let me pull this map down and get back to the biblical text here. All right, so this goat confronts the ram. The ram cannot withstand him. And so back to Daniel chapter 8 and verse 8. Therefore the male goat grew very fast. But when he became strong, the large horn was broken. Now remember, the large horn is the first king, Daniel 8 verse 21. So the kingdom expands, it takes control, but then it's like suddenly something happens and, well, that large horn, that powerful king, emperor, however you want to say it, is taken down. And notice this, and in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. Alexander, dying at a young age, he had no, I guess you would say, no heir to his throne. So the Grecian Empire was divided up or split up among his four generals. Now, this is stuff, like I said, I've told you guys many times over the years, I have a wide margin Bible, so I make all kinds of notes in this. It's very helpful. I made notes about this from secular history. What happened when Alexander died? What are these four horns? What are we talking about here? Well, it's a separation. It's a division of his kingdom among his four generals. And it's explained here in verses 18 through 26. Okay, so Alexander the Great lived from 356 to 323. So what is that, 33 years until he died? And all of these, here's one of the interesting things about this, about these passages. Let me get down here. This is Daniel chapter 8 and verse 17. Gabriel is explaining this vision to Daniel. That starts in verse 15. But in verse 17, Gabriel says this, "Understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end." Look at that phrase there in Daniel 8 and verse 17, the time of the end. You're going to see that several times from Daniel 8 all the way into Daniel chapter 12. This is not a reference to the end of time. This is not a reference to final judgment, to the end of the world, to the return of Christ. And if you make notes, you might note this on the beginning of the book of Daniel, or in a margin somewhere near the book of Daniel, every prophecy in Daniel's book is fulfilled within those four kingdoms: Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and Rome. That is the breadth of Daniel's prophetic message. Whether it's in the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 2, those four kingdoms, and in the days of that fourth kingdom, the God of heaven would set up a kingdom. Whether it's these visions in Daniel chapter 7 or 8, the 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9, etc. All of Daniel's prophecies are, let's say, encapsulated, they're fulfilled somewhere in that period of time from Babylon to Rome. That is something to understand, something important to understand. And so as you read through Daniel, and like I said, particularly chapters 8 through 12, find this phrase here, the time of the end, and make a note. That's not the end of time. That's not the final judgment, the end of the world, heaven, hell, etc. This is specifically a reference to the events within that period of time, Babylon to Rome, and ultimately God accomplishing his purpose in establishing the kingdom. The kingdom that, as Daniel 2:44 says, was not left to other people, that it would be superior to all other kingdoms. Extremely important phrase to understand. Anyway, let me get back here to Daniel chapter 8. So you have, all right, so the male goat has a horn. That horn is broken, and four notable horns came up toward the four winds of heaven. It's going to be divided. Notice the south, the east, the glorious land. It grew up to the host of heaven, one of the horns. It begins talking about the north and the south. We're going to lay all that out. Okay, I'm not going to try to go into all of that today because we've already been going for over 20 minutes. There's a lot of content there to explain and to look at some things in history. But I guess the point I'm making here today ultimately is that when you look at all of these kingdoms, whether it's Babylon or it's Persia or it's Greece, and then of course I have another map here for Rome. You look at the Roman Empire and how it was so diverse. It goes a lot more to the west, a little bit more south than these other kingdoms. And you can see here even, this is a map from AD, so this is late 2nd century. And you might say at that point in time, Rome was not at the height of its power. It was waning a bit during that period of time, whatever the case may be. Daniel's specifying events, or he's being given these visions to specify the events that would take place. I tell you what, let me do this. Let me get to Daniel chapter 12, and I want to show you something else here in the text. All right. Well, this is one of those, and I don't know how many times I've said this over the years, but these sometimes the chapter and verse breakups in Scripture are not helpful. This is one instance of that. Daniel 12:1 starts out, "At that time Michael shall stand up." So you have to read chapter 11, and we're going to do that because chapter 11 is extremely detailed in terms of the intertestamental period, particularly with Alexander the Great, with Greece, and things that would happen during that period of time. But just know that Daniel 12 is, you have to connect Daniel 11 with Daniel 12. I've heard this reference a lot, Daniel 12 and verse 2, as talking about the resurrection at the end of time. "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." That is not the resurrection of the final day. It can't be, because it's connected to what's going on back in Daniel chapter 11. So that's not what I brought you here for, but I just wanted to get that out. Here's what I want to show you from Daniel chapter 12. Let me get the Bible app back up here. All right, so here's what I want you to see from Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end." There's that phrase again. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So Daniel's still seeing more things here, but he's told to shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. If all of Daniel's prophecies are limited by the period of time from Babylon to Rome, that the end of time, the time of the end has to mean that. It has to refer to that period of time. So let's see here. Scroll down here a little bit in Daniel chapter 12. Here we go, verse 8. "Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." There's that phrase again. All right? It has to be a reference to the same period of prophecy that's been throughout the whole book. It has to be consistent. "Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." So Wayne asked earlier, in the video, are these the same as spoken of in Revelation, the beast? We're going to talk about that. But I do want to make this note, kind of in connection with what Wayne asked. Notice here, many shall be purified, etc., the wicked will do wickedly, but the wise shall understand. One of the things that Daniel prophesies of is the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. The wise shall understand, Daniel 12 and verse 10. Connect that with Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke chapter 21, where Jesus, in extremely specific detail, mentions Daniel and the prophecies of Daniel, and he tells three of his disciples, who it's Mark 13 tells it. I think it's Peter, Andrew, James. Maybe it's Peter, Andrew, James, and John. But anyway, a very limited audience. Everything that's going to happen before Rome through Titus comes in and destroys Jerusalem in AD 70. You're going to be able to see it coming. You know what's going to happen. Get out of the city. Daniel 12:10. The wise shall understand. Those who paid attention to the words of Jesus and the words of his apostles, they would understand Jerusalem's getting ready to fall. Anyway, Daniel 12 and verse 13. But you, Daniel, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Now that might be a resurrection passage. But either way, we have to understand the time frame of Daniel. From Babylon to Rome, those four world empires. Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 2, Daniel's first vision in Daniel 7, Daniel's second vision in chapter 8. You get to chapter 10, notice this. I'm kind of going off course here now because I'm about to wrap it up. But anyway, Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel. So you read all of Daniel chapter 10. It's a fairly short chapter. How many verses does it have here? 21. And then you flip over to Daniel chapter 11. A very long chapter. An extremely specific chapter. And he talks about the realm of Greece. Now he's alive during the days of Darius the Mede, okay, a king of Persia, Media Persia. But he's talking about the realm of Greece. And he's talking about kings of the north and the south. When Alexander died, and we're gonna detail all of this. When Alexander died, unexpectedly, his kingdom was divided among his four generals. And that's what Daniel chapter 11 talks about. Events that would then follow in the intertestamental period. So, something to look forward to. We may actually start getting into that tomorrow. I think actually that's the best way to do it. So, I'm going to stop for today, guys. That's about 30 minutes. That was a lot of information. I tried to throw up all of these maps to help us get some kind of visualization. You may have some Bible maps in the back of your Bible. Sometimes those are pretty shallow. But you can go on the internet and find all of these different maps. And if I remember right, I don't think I got one of these from like a Bible-based website. So you got Babylon, you've got Medo-Persia, you've got Greece, and then you have Rome. And Daniel talks about every one of these. And a lot of that period of time covers the intertestamental period. All right, guys, hopefully this was helpful to you. If you have any questions or comments, like I said, I know that's a lot of information and a lot of pictures flashing up and back and forth there, but if you have any questions or comments, put in the comment section, same thing on YouTube, and I will acknowledge them and answer them if I can when I see them. But I appreciate you guys being here today, and I think that's it. I think what we'll do tomorrow is get a little more detailed in Daniel chapter 8, look at some historical facts about Media Persia, Greece. That's Daniel chapter 8, verses 20 and 21, and then we'll just go from there. All right, guys, I hope you have a good day. Thank you for being here, and I hope to see you back here tomorrow at 11 a.m.